If you're using a church Bible, that's page 1063. If you've made it, put it on your head to show that you're ready. Who's got a Bible? Put it on your head to show that you're ready.
Unless you'd be really embarrassed by doing that, in which case you don't have to.
Okay. Okay, let's begin. Reading from John 1, verse 1, and then we're moving to verses 14 to 18. So John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then moving to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Ollie, thanks ever so much. Well, there are lots of different ways, aren't there, of coming to know something or learn about something. Lots of different ways. And something that I know for a fact some of you are having to learn about for the first time this year involves one of these. What have I done with my bag? Here it is. It's over here. Right, it involves one of these. I know some of you are having to learn how to tie one of these for the first time, or know about how to tie one of these for the first time. It's not that easy, is it? Now, there are lots of different ways, if I wanted to help you to know how to do this, that I might go about doing that. And to illustrate that point, I need a volunteer, and I think... Are you happy, Caleb? Are you going to come up? Okay. All right, Caleb's going to come up, and he's going to learn how to tie this beautiful tie. Caleb, do you know how to tie a tie? No. Okay, so this is... Right. Just know this. If they laugh, they're not laughing at you, they're laughing at me. Okay. Right, here you go. So here's a tie. Okay. So one way that we could go about this, I could just tell you how to do it, couldn't we? Shall we see how that goes? Okay, right. So you'll see that the tie's got a skinny end and a sort of fatter end. Yeah, okay. So if you kind of put it round your neck so that the skinny end... That's right, yeah. And then if you kind of pull on the larger end so that it... That's it. Keep going. Keep going. That's it. That'll do. Okay. Do you want to just turn and fake... There we go. Okay. Right. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to hold the skinny end out with your left hand in front of you. That's it, yeah. And then I want to take the other side and put it over the top of the skinny end. Okay, that's good. Yeah, nice. And then use that hand to kind of pull it through the gap between your arm and the... Oh, yeah, you see, it's getting tricky. That's the one. That's it. Oh, nearly. Hold on. You're getting carried away. Right, now throw it over the top again. Throw the fat side over the top. Yeah, that's it. Very good. Okay. And now switch hands. That's it. Yeah, very good. And then take the fat end and poke it up through the top, the hole at the top near your neck. That's it. Very good. You're doing very well with this. Put that, yeah, very good. Okay, and then this is where it gets really tricky. Now I want you to try and tuck the fat end between the loop at the top of the tie. Does that make any sense? No, okay, right. So, okay, take your left hand. See that loop at the top? There's a little, yeah, this is difficult, isn't it? We could probably find a better way of doing this. It's pretty hard to, is it hard to do it just off the bat? Okay, right, all right. There's other ways we could do it. I could show him some pictures as well. For the sake of time, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take one and I'm going to come here and I'm going to stand with you and I'm going to show you. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. All right. There we go. Okay, are you ready? We're back to here. Okay, that's it. Right, okay, so what are you going to do? Take it like this. All right, put this one over this one. That's it. And then pull it underneath. This one over this one again. Pull it underneath. Pop it through the hole at the top. Like that. Very good. Okay. And then this is the loop I was talking about. So you can find that loop. That one. That's it. And then pop the fat bit through there. Pull it down. Pull it up. Right, so hold the skinny bit and pull it up. Give him a round of applause. Marvellous. Let me just ask you one question before you go and sit back down. Which was better? Which was better for knowing what to do? Was it just listening to what I was? The second one, where I came and I showed you. Okay, great. That's worth knowing. Bear that in mind. Thank you very much, Caleb. Go and take a seat if you can get yourself out. We should do another lesson on how to take it off, but don't worry. You're doing well. That's good. There is an easy way. Your dad will show you later. It's all good. Fab, thanks very much. Do you own a tie, Gareth? Yeah? Okay. Sorry, go sit down. Go sit down. That sounded a bit mean. It wasn't meant to be, sorry. Okay. Right, where are we? Okay. There are different ways of knowing things, aren't there? Okay. You could find out about something through being told, through seeing, but there's nothing quite like being physically shown, is there? That's a really powerful way of knowing about something. And in the passage, there's a passage in Hebrews, which tells us that there are different ways in which God reveals himself. Let me read it to you. It's up on the screen here. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. You see, there are lots of different ways that God has revealed himself throughout history. This passage speaks of the prophets like Moses, who spoke God's word from him. Prophets like Ezekiel, who did, there's a bit in Ezekiel 37 where he has two sticks and he kind of shows something about God and what he's doing. Prophets like Hosea, whose whole life was like a lived out example of something to do with God's relationship with his people. But he also revealed himself in other ways, didn't he? Through miracles like the burning bush or the parting of the Red Sea or the glory cloud that came down on the temple when it was founded. All of these are ways that in the past God revealed himself to his people. But now God has revealed himself by his Son, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to make God known, not just by telling us about him, not just by displaying his power, but so that we might see him, so that we might know him in that unique and powerful way. Look at how John describes it in the passage that Ollie read it to us just a moment ago. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This person, this Word, was there in the beginning, before anything was created. There he was. He was with God and he was God, says John. Who is this Word? Well, verse 14 sheds more light on it. The Word became flesh, had a body, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This Word took on a human nature. He made his dwelling amongst us. He walked amongst us. He lived amongst us. We saw his glory, which is a Bible word that basically means wow. We saw his wow. The glory of the Son from the Father. This is Jesus. He is the Word made flesh, who made his dwelling among us. Why do that? Well, look at verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. You see, before Jesus came, God's people had heard about him. They'd seen him do amazing things. But now that Jesus has come in the flesh, we have seen him. We know him in a richer and a fuller and a completer way. Jesus came to make God known. Now, what does that mean for us here this morning? Well, it means lots of things, but I want to just highlight two things in particular. First is this: God wants us to know him. Isn't that incredible? The God of the universe, the God who made all things, wants us to know him. In spite of our rebellion against him, in spite of our rejection of him, in spite of our sin, all those times we've said, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your ways. In spite of all of that, God wants to be known by us. We've seen it all through history in the way that he's spoken at many times and in various ways. But in particular, we have seen it in Jesus, the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. In Jesus, God makes himself known. And that is an amazing thing. But here's the second thing that that means for us this morning. We must pay really careful attention to Jesus, mustn't we? We must pay really a careful attention to Jesus. If we want to know God, we need to know Jesus. We must come to know him. His words, his actions, his life, his death, his resurrection. Through all of them, God reveals himself to us. He makes himself known to us. And that is not a small thing. That is not something that we can ignore this morning. It's not something we can ignore as we go into a new year. We need to remember, at the beginning of this new academic year, Jesus came to make God known. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing our next song. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that all throughout history you have been revealing yourself to your people at many times and in various ways. But we thank you most of all for the way that you have revealed yourself in a richer and a fuller and a more complete way in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we would all pay careful attention to him this year as the one who can make you known to us. And in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing about the fact that Jesus left the gaze of angels and came to seek and save the lost, that he might make God known to us. He is the Word of God the Father, and we're going to sing of that now. Let's stand.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him.
Thank you, Grace. I'm sure lots of you had the opportunity to go away on holiday this summer, and holiday's great, isn't it? But one of the things that can be a little bit tricky about holidays is often you go somewhere that you haven't been before. And finding your way around can be a little bit tricky at times. We recently got back from our holiday, and we were very blessed to go somewhere that was very flat, which meant that we could go everywhere on our bikes as a family, which was really great, and that was really fun. But it did mean that one time we found ourselves in the centre of town, and we wanted, it was quite early on in the holiday, we wanted to go to the beach. And we sort of knew the general direction that we needed to go in, but we weren't really sure if we knew the right way. Here's a map. I think it's going to come out. Here's the place. And this is where we were over here. That's where we started in the town. You can't see all the roads. There's a whole load of roads and stuff through here. And this is where we were looking to get to on the beach. So on that first time, we gave it a go, and we had a pretty good go at it. And if we have the next slide, this is the route that we took. So we kind of went up this road here and then down this road and along here and down. And eventually, we made it along to the beach. And it was pretty successful. Okay, that was the way that we went. A couple of days later, we realized actually there was probably a better way. If we can have the next slide, we could have gone this way. Okay, it was much more direct, much less kind of wiggling around and turning left and right and all over the place. And that was, so we were like, oh, okay, that would be a good way to go. But then actually, a little bit after that, we realized, oh, do you know what? There might be a safer way. because this way had like a cycle path that we could go all the way up here and all the way along here. And it was a little bit longer, but it was a bit easier. And maybe we could go that way. And then we realized, hey, wouldn't it be fun if maybe we could, even if we want, we didn't actually do this, but we could have gone down here to the beach and then just left our bikes there and walked all the way along this beautiful beach to get here. In the end, to get from here to here, there were actually loads of different ways that we could have gone. Lots of different ways to the beach. And actually, with all of these other roads in between, there were probably actually hundreds of different ways we could have got to where we wanted to go. Now, thanks, we can have that slide down now. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people think God is like that, don't they? Have you heard that before? The idea that I don't know, God is like a mountain and there are many different roads to the top, that kind of thing. A lot of people think that that's what different religions are all about. There are loads of different ways to get to God. They're just different, okay? That's what some people would say. Maybe even some Christians tend to think in a kind of Christianized version of that. They might think, oh, well, there's lots of different ways I can get to God. Maybe I can get to God by being really faithful in reading my Bible every day. Or maybe I can get to God by being really faithful in praying every day. Or maybe if I give lots of money to charity, or maybe if I do lots of kind things for other people, or maybe if I just don't do really mean things to other people. Okay, we might fall into the trap, mightn't we, thinking, oh, there's all these different ways that we might get to God. A bit like all the different ways that I could get to the beach on my bike. The question is that true? Is that true? Are there lots of different ways to God? What does Jesus have to say? Well, let's have a look, shall we? A few verses from that passage that Grace read to us a moment ago. Jesus has been explaining to his disciples that he's going to his Father. He's going to his Father, and when he does that in heaven, and when he does that, he's going to prepare a place for them. And we read, don't we, in these verses 4-6, Jesus says, "You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas, who we'll see a bit later as well, he says, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What, according to Jesus, is the way to God? He is. He is the only way to God. No one comes to the Father except through him. You see, unlike the beach, there aren't many, many different ways that we could take to get to God. There is only one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to God. Which begs the question, doesn't it? Why? Why is Jesus the only way to God? Well, there are several reasons. There are several ways we could answer that. Partly because of who he is. We've already thought, haven't we, about the fact that he is the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And that is part of the reason why Jesus is the only way to the Father. But it's partly because of the reason that we're separated from God in the first place. You see, human beings didn't start out being separated from God. The Bible tells us that our first parents, Adam and Eve, enjoyed a wonderful close relationship with him. But they broke that relationship by rejecting him. And we do the same by rejecting him and rebelling against him, by not doing the things that we know we should do, by doing the things that we know we shouldn't. And that separates us from God. This is one way that we thought about it while we were on camp this summer. Imagine that this great big notebook here, okay? Imagine that in this, there is a record of all of the wrong things that I've done in my lifetime, all of my sin, all of the wrong things I've done, all of the good things that I should have done but didn't. They're recorded in this book. Let me be honest with you, you need a much bigger book than this, okay? But this is the biggest one I've got. And that record of my sin is like a barrier that stands between me and God. It separates me from him. And if I am going to get a way back to him, a relationship with him, then I need Jesus to make that way. How does he do that? Well, that is what his death and resurrection is all about. You see, as Jesus hangs on the cross, it's as if my record of sin and the record of sin of everyone who puts their trust in him is put on him. And as he hangs on the cross, he pays the price for that and takes it away so that it is gone. And the way is made for us to have a relationship with God again. What a wonderful thing that is. How does Jesus make the way back to God? Well, through that great exchange that happens on the cross. And his resurrection is the proof that God accepted that and his mission was successful. This is how the writer to the book of Hebrews puts it. The writer of the book of Hebrews puts it. That's what I meant. This is how he summarizes it here, using some language that relates to the Old Testament temple. He says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, that is the place where God dwells, how? By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, we can enter the most holy place. He has opened a new and a living way through the curtain that is his body." Do you see? Through his death and resurrection, Jesus has made a way, the only way, for us to get to God. Jesus is the only way we can deal with our sin, the sin that separates us from him, and so Jesus is the only way back to him. What does that mean for us? Well, it means that just as if we want to know God, we have to look to Jesus. If we want to be with God, we have to go through Jesus. We have to go through him. We have to repent of our sin, to recognize that what we've done is wrong, to really feel that and turn back to God and tell him how sorry we are. And we need to put our trust in Jesus' death and resurrection to pay the price for our sin. That is true for all of us. Doesn't matter how old we are, doesn't matter who we are, because Jesus is the way to God. Let's pray, shall we, before we sing again. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is honest with us. And we thank you at the beginning of this new year that we can be reminded not only that Jesus is the one who came to make you known, but that Jesus is the one who has come to make a way back to you, the only way. Please, Heavenly Father, would you help each of us to see the truth of that and to turn from our sin and to put our hope in him, that we might be with you forever. In his name we pray. Amen. I believe it's from, I should know this, from John chapter 20. So would you please open your Bibles to John chapter 20, and we're going to briefly have a look at this last passage.
John chapter 20, we're reading from verse 19. That's page 1089, and when you're all ready, if you, Ollie could put his Bible on his head, that would be great. Great. Thanks, Ollie. John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Then verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Thank you, Andrew, ever so much. Well, for this last bit, we're going to start off. I've got three packages here. And each of them contains something of different value. Now, I could do with three volunteers to come up quickly. Let's see. Do you want to come up? You're going to come up, Rowan? Thank you. You're up first, so you can choose which package you want to be your package. Let's see. Nancy, do you want to come up? That's great. And let's see. Oh, yeah, come on then. Come on. Come on. I'm going to get it wrong. Is it Eddie? Yeah, I thought so. Right, Eddie, don't worry. It's not as bad as it looks. Okay, right, there we go. Okay, do you want to pick your package up, Nancy? Okay, right, so we've got three packages, three different values. Now, what we're going to do is we're gonna get... Oh, don't open it yet, Ron. Don't open it yet. I can see you're keen, and I understand that, but we're not going to open them yet. Okay, first of all, we're going to do a bit of a vote, okay? A bit of audience participation. Can you hold them up above your heads? Rowan, can you hold that up? It's a big box, isn't it? I know it's very heavy. There we go. Okay. Right. Okay. Now, I want you to vote, just on a guess, okay, which one do you think has the most valuable item in it? Any ideas? Okay. So if you want to vote for number one, the envelope, okay, put your hand up now. Okay. Interesting. I see what you're thinking. Okay. If you think it's this middle one here, put your hand up. Okay, yeah, okay, interesting. And if you think it's this great big one here, put your hand up. Yeah, oh, interesting. Oh, I see. Oh, you all think I'm trying to trick you, don't you? I see how this is going. All right, okay, right. This time round, we're going to do the vote again, but I'm going to tell you which one has the most valuable thing in it, okay? And you need to decide whether you're going to take my word for it or not, all right? Here we go. I'm telling you this time the most valuable thing is in this box here, all right? That's the box that's got it. Okay, let's do the vote again. Who thinks that this envelope has the most valuable? I'm not going to take it personally. It's okay. Who thinks this has the most valuable item in it? Oh, okay. I'm not taking it personally. Who thinks that Nancy's package has the most valuable item? Oh, thank you. Thank you for the vote of confidence. Who thinks that Rowan's does? Okay. Sorry, Rowan. Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll start with Rowan. Rowan, would you open up your package, please, and look inside and tell us what's in there? What have you got? In fact, no, it's not nothing. No, I'm not that mean. It does look like nothing, doesn't it? It's because it's so small, it's got trapped under one of the flaps in the bottom. There we go. Right, Rowan, can you tell everyone, what have you got there in that box? Do you know? 5p! Woo! 5p! Okay, thank you very much. I'll take that. No. You'll see why I can't give it to you later, don't worry. Okay, right, let's... Let's have a look. What about? Hang on, Nancy. Hold fire. You gotta build to the big reveal. Okay. Right. Eddie, would you open that up for us, please? Do you like Eddie, or do you prefer Edward? Edward. Okay. No, Eddie. Okay, Eddie. Dad's saying Eddie. It's Eddie. Okay. What we got in there, Eddie? No, there's not nothing. I promise you, there's not nothing. What's that? Do you know what that is? Yeah, it's a pound. Whoa, yeah, we've got a pound coin here, okay. You think it's going to be £2? Okay, well, let's have a look, Nancy. What have we got in here? Big reveal. Yeah, good, yeah. I didn't want to use that box for anything else anyway. It's fine. Okay, what's in there? Do you want to open it up? Can you open it up? What's that? Do you know what that is? Shall I tell you? This is a gold sovereign. A real gold coin that I was given in the year 2000 on my 18th birthday by my grandma, which is why you can't have it. But thank you so much for your participation. Give them a round of applause. You can go and sit back down. I'll sit you back down. Okay, why on earth did we do that? Right. Some of you may have found it hard to believe what I was telling you, okay? Some of you did find it hard to believe what I was telling you when I told you that box had the most valuable item in it. Let's be honest, it doesn't actually matter, does it? Okay, it didn't matter whether I was telling you the truth in that one or not, really. Or whether you took my word for it or not doesn't really matter. But some things really do. Some things really do matter. Like the passage that we were just having read for us a moment ago. Let's just do a quick recap. After his death, the resurrected Jesus has appeared to many of his disciples while they're hiding in a locked room. But not everyone was there, were they? Thomas wasn't. He didn't see the risen Lord Jesus with his own eyes. And so he refused to believe what the others were telling him. If you've got your Bibles open, let's just have a quick look back to verse 25. This is what he says. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. And that's what Thomas says. Now, Thomas gets a bit of a bad rap, bit of a bad press for this. But at one level, it's not that surprising, is it? That he doesn't believe what his friends are telling him, because dead people do not normally come back to life. That's not normally what happens. But despite his unbelief, Jesus is very kind to Thomas. Look at what he says in verse 26, or look what verse 26 says. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Isn't that amazing? Jesus offered Thomas exactly what he'd asked for. And how does Thomas respond? Well, look at verse 28. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. All doubt is gone. Having seen, Thomas believes, and believing, he worships Jesus as his Lord and his God. Jesus is Lord and God. But interestingly, look at what Jesus goes on to say next, verse 29. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." But here's the key thing. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas believed because he saw the resurrected Jesus. But Jesus says that there will be those who won't see and yet they will believe. And that those people are blessed. They receive favor from God. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Why will they be blessed, those who haven't seen and yet believe? Why will they be blessed? Well, John goes on to tell us. Look at verse 30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That by believing you may have life in his name. John wrote this gospel that, so that those who didn't see with their own eyes might read about Jesus and believe. Believe that he is the Messiah. Believe that he is the Son of God. Believe that their sin barrier can be removed by his death and resurrection so that they can have an eternity with him. That is the life that Jesus speaks of there, so that he can open the way to the Father for them. That is blessing, isn't it, friends? To know that relationship with God through Jesus. That is blessing. And it comes through believing that Jesus is who the Bible says he is. And with Thomas falling down and worshipping and saying, "You are my Lord and my God." What does this mean for us as we close? Well, it means that each of us personally needs to put our trust in the resurrected Jesus. It's possible that there are some of you who are hearing this for the first time. Well, if that is true, I hope you can see, I hope you realize what a massive claim this is that Jesus makes in the scriptures. That he is the only way to God, and that through believing in him, we have life in his name. I hope you see that no matter how skeptical you might be, no matter how hard you might find it to believe that here and now this morning, But that is a claim that is absolutely worth looking into more. And if that is something that you would like to do, I would encourage you maybe to speak to the person you came with today or to come and talk to me. And I'd love to give you a copy of John's Gospel so you can go and look at that for yourself and think more about those claims so that you might see and believe and be blessed. But there are probably many of you here today who've grown up in the church and you've heard these things time and again. You've done all the right Christian things and you've assumed that that's what makes you right with God. But the Bible says, no, that's not it. Unless you personally have decided to put your trust in Jesus, you do not have life in him. Doing Christian things isn't the way to God. Jesus is the way to God. And if you are yet to put your trust in him, why not do that today so that you can know life in his name? But finally, there are, I'm sure, many of us here who have already put our trust in Jesus, who, though we have not seen him, are blessed to have life in his name. Or if that is you, let me encourage you as we step into a new year, keep going with Jesus. Keep believing in Jesus. Keep worshipping Jesus as Thomas did when he saw. Because Jesus came to make God known. Jesus is the only way to God. And Jesus is Lord and God. Let's pray, shall we, before we sing our final song. Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to Jesus, we have in your word everything that we need to believe in him and receive life in his name, even though we haven't seen him with our own eyes. Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that. Help us by the power of your Spirit to see him as he really is, to believe in him, in his death and resurrection, and to know eternal life with you. In his name we pray. Amen.